This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again on Old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners, cutting away all of the briars and the brambles and the kudzu that clutters up the human heart. And we're just happy to be back with you at this time. We've been bringing you some studies on this subject, demon possession. We looked there at the reality of demons, Satan and his kingdom, Satan and his reign, the grand name of Satan, baptism with the Holy Spirit, baptism with a demon spirit, Satan the old trickster. And now we've come down to almost the end of our studies. We're looking at demon holidays. Oh, my friend, we just touched on it there last time. You folks are hearing me. I'd like to hear from you. And remember, the Old Trailblazer is on the internet now. If you go there to our website, radiomissions.org, you can look up all the pertinent information about the Old Trailblazer, what we most surely believe, and the picture there of the Old Trailblazer. And if you would, I appreciate you letting me hear from you. But we're going to bring you these studies now, a few of them, several, three or four, on demon holidays. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy there in 2 Timothy, said, chapter 3 and verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And he goes on to give us a picture of the church in the last days. And brother, I believe we're living in that day now. If you want to read all them, you'll find them in the third chapter of 2 Timothy. Now listen to these words. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." Remember, Paul here is speaking about the church and not the world. I've had folks tell me, "Oh, I know, Trailblazer, we're living in a perilous time. The stock market is way down, and the IRAs are falling by the wayside, and the Fannie Mae and all of those are going." No, I'm not talking about that, and Apostle Paul wasn't either. He says, "Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof." That's where we are today. "Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. For the time will come when they will not endure a sound doctrine." That's where we are today. "But after themselves, after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fable." That's 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4:4. Now, this is just a little prophetic glimpse into our present day religious world system, and that the Holy Spirit gave to the Apostle Paul there over 2,000 years ago. You and I, we're living in that day now. Oh, my friend, this is some picture that Paul gives us, isn't it? Then, writing in 2 Corinthians, let's see what he says. "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Paul was lamenting the fact that even the Corinthians were beginning to slip away from the simplicity. He said over there in Galatians, "Who hath bewitched you? Who has fooled you that you so easily, so quickly removed from the truth?" Oh, my friend, not only is repentance the missing note in our present-day preaching, in our religious life, but the person and work of Christ is the missing note in our present-day worship and in our present-day testimony. I offered you this little book often by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton, little booklet, "The Reality of Christ." Oh, if I could send it out by the tens of thousands, I'd be glad to do it. The reality of Christ, the missing note in our present-day preaching, is repentance. It's repentance, my friend. The old-time testimony meetings are all but gone. And I can remember just a little bit of those times, hearing folks talk about the old-timey prayer meetings, where they folks would come together and pray, couldn't come together and eat and feast and watch the Super Bowl. No, they come together to pray and praise the Lord and to pray down the Holy Spirit to come amongst us and awaken our folks. But they're almost gone, just like our old prayer meetings are gone. All the old testimony meetings are gone. You have a testimony meeting in your church, hardly anyone will speak up. Prayer meeting in your church, hardly anyone will come. I was visiting a preacher in Michigan one time years and years ago, and he announced at 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock, we're going to have prayer meeting at such and such a time this afternoon. And he and I went over there to the church right down the street from his home, and wasn't anybody there but he and I. We were the only ones there. We were the only ones there. I think it embarrassed him. None of his folks showed up. He had a pretty large crowd for 11 o'clock service. They didn't show up. Oh, my friend, when have you sat in a testimony meeting when men and women, young men and young women, stood up and testified what Christ means to in salvation? One of the greatest blessings that I have is that we have here on our fellowship days, annual, twice a year, spring and fall, our folks come in here from all over the country, all over America, and we have several nights of service, and then we give opportunity for folks to stand up and tell what the Lord means, and they just pop up one after the other. And, Pastor, I just want to praise the Lord for saving an old sinner like me. I just want to praise the Lord for redeeming my poor soul. I just want to praise the Lord for keeping me all of these years and washing me in the blood. Can you praise the Lord like that? My friend, that's not strange for God's child. The Bible says always be ready to give an account of the hope that you have within you. Someone walks up to you in the line at the grocery store and say, Brother, tell me how the Lord saved you. Can you do it? Can you do it? I can. I tell him, come over here on the side a little bit and let's just sit down and I'll tell you how the Lord saved old Trailblazer. But can you do that? The scripture says always be ready. My friend, are you ashamed of your Christian living? Are you ashamed? Are you afraid? Oh, my friend, listen. You just don't hear it anymore, do you? Some few may get up and tell how God answered their prayer, how they were healed and all of those things, or maybe blessed materially. But listen, some will get up and tell what a great experience they had, but very seldom will you hear anyone get up and tell how the Lord saved them, brought them to repentance, and then what Christ means to them. So the missing note in our present-day worship and testimony is the simplicity in Christ. God never intended for his people to get away from the simple worship of Christ. Christ said before he went back to heaven, after that, the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, that's the same word, my friend. Don't get afraid of that. It's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. It's come upon ye. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Not of an experience. Not of those things, my friend. Not bodily healing. Not a program. Oh, what a great grand church we have. What a grand pastor we have. Oh, he's this and he. No. Not what a doctrine you preach. No. But of me. Witnessing of Christ. He says, witnessing of me. Oh, my friend, you just don't hear that anymore, do you? You don't hear that anymore. This world has gone so far, my friend. Listen. When the church turns away from the simplicity in Christ, then they must have something to hold on to. And when you have only an empty religious profession, as we have today, then the church will turn to almost anything. I've often made this statement. I know why the charismatics and those folks that profess those things, I know why the churches are full on Sunday and all other night. It's because of the modern Protestant churches, which used to stand for something, have gone to seed, and there's nothing there but dry shucks, dry wood, just chucks. Nothing, no kernel there, just shucks. And the folks have gone off seeking something that they could get a hold of. I've had folks tell me that. Ain't nothing over there in that little old church. I've gone off down here where they speak in tongue, where they shout and praise the Lord. But my friend, listen. Now, let's go back. When the church turns away from the simplicity in Christ, then they'll have to have something to hold on to. But if you have only an empty profession, as many have today, then the church will turn to almost anything. When the Galatian Christians began to turn away from the simplicity in Christ, they began to observe days and months and times and years. And Paul writes in these words, now get it, Galatians 4:9. But now, after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. And I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Then Paul said in Colossians 2, Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or a new moon, or the Sabbath. You see, my friend, when an individual turns away from the simplicity of the worship of Christ as his Lord and Savior, he's got to have something to hold on to. You got to have a church. You got to have a program. You got to have an outward sign. You got to have an image, a picture. My friend, that's true in salvation. When a person misses Christ, they have to have some feeling, some emotion, some experience to base their salvation on. And all the old trailblazer has is Christ. What is your hope, my friend? Could I just stop a moment before we run out of time and just ask you, what is your hope? You folks up there in Sweetwater, Tennessee, maybe you hadn't heard the old trailblazer but just a few days. What's your hope? Could I just ask you that? I would like to hear from you. Write me and tell me how the Lord saved you. And tell me that you're trusting the Lord. You know what salvation is, my friend? Trusting the Lord. It's a deliverance from this present evil world. Trusting the Lord day by day in simplicity. It's not no euphoria. It's not no tingling of the backbone and things running up your spine. That's not salvation. Speaking in tongues, that's not salvation. None of those things are salvation. No, sir. No, sir. Salvation is trusting Christ. Just the simplicity in Christ. Christ died for sinners. Did Christ die for you, my friend? He died for the old trailblazer. I wish you'd sit down and write me, and I'll send you some material that we have here, more or less laying out what the old trailblazer believes, what we most surely believe, some of you folks who have never heard me before. You write me. I'll send you those things. Folks ask me, Pastor Trailblazer, what do you preach? We preach Christ. Well, you don't preach speaking in tongues? No. No, that's all of the devil. And my friend, listen. It's the greatest thing in the world to know the Lord. Greatest thing in this world is to know the Lord. Not to be a church member, not to be a deacon, not to be a bishop, not to be those things. No. Those high muckety-muck fellas put on their britches just like the old trailblazer does. But are they saved? I don't know. I asked you fellas driving down the old Interstate 40 up there in Tennessee, wherever you are you saved? Old trucker, are you saved? You've been on the road now, as the song says, 8 days on the road, and I got to make it home tonight? Oh, my friend, take care. Trust the Lord, would you? Look to the Lord day in and day out. And then when you get home, write to Old Trailblazer and tell me you made it home safely. But this is the Old Trailblazer. Remember my mailing address? The Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my website, radiomissions.org. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.